Friends, again, we turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and take a look at the big picture of what is happening. Last week, we noted the fact that the Acts of the Apostles is very unique and very significant to our understanding of the whole New Testament structure, and that without it, we would be very puzzled about many features of the church and how it began. And we noted also that the Acts provides in its opening a sort of handbook to guide the church, not just then, but to guide the church in subsequent generations as to how they should organize and conduct themselves in order to fulfill their calling in Christ. Now, a major dimension of the Acts of the Apostles, a major theme, something which, if you read it, you couldn't escape noting, is that it consistently and persistently notes the way in which the people of the early church shared the word with the world around them. You know, it is an amazing story. It's a very dramatic one, actually. As the Acts of the Apostle begins its account, there are gathered in Jerusalem about 120 believers. That was the disciples and the circle around them. And oh yes, I'm sure that there were many more than that who had been followers of Jesus, but they're in Jerusalem, gathered together to continue life now that Christ had been crucified and ascended into heaven. There were about 120. And you might think, in the midst of all of that, how could that ever survive? Well, the story, of course, in Acts includes Pentecost. And Pentecost was the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, we are told that after Peter preached and explained what was happening and why, there were some 3,000 converts. And these were no doubt often people who had followed with interest the story of Jesus, but they came to the point of professing their allegiance to him and receiving him as the Messiah, because that was what he was to them, because these would have been people who had been raised in the Jewish faith with the anticipation of a Messiah, and now this had been fulfilled for them, because they are now persuaded that this Jesus Christ, who fascinated them extraordinarily, was actually and definitely, irrefutably, God's Messiah. And there they are, this community blossoms. But still, even 3,000. What are so few in the midst of the whole world? Oh, we could suggest that there were probably other people in Galilee who, if they hadn't been aware of Pentecost yet, were ripe to profess because they had listened to Jesus and they had accepted what he was saying to them. But they didn't have a clear picture of what would happen now, because Jesus had been crucified. And was that the end of the story? They needed to know more. And Acts of the Apostles, in a very brief way, tells us the things that happened. It starts in Jerusalem with that 120 expanded by 3,000. And Luke, in his account in Acts, just sort of adds in from time to time and more were added daily. Because it was a rapidly growing community of faith. Well, that seems amazing that this small handful could be expanding and deepening so quickly. And then, of course, something happened, because as it had occurred in Christ's ministry, so it occurs again, that when, pardon me, when the public acceptance of Christ increased during his ministry, opposition also increased. And here in Jerusalem, as this fledgling Christian community begins to expand and begins to give evidence that it's not only going to survive, but it's growing, oppression, opposition arrived once again. And if we are reading through the Acts of the Apostles, we get to the account of Stephen and his martyrdom, and the fact that at that point there was such opposition to this new Christian community, though it wasn't known by the name Christian yet, this new community of believers, there was such opposition that they were, for the most part, obliged to leave Jerusalem. The opposition was so strong. Acts tells us that the apostles remained behind, but that many others were scattered. And then Luke, in his account, talks about Samaria, how some went to Samaria, which was kind of a place of refuge, perhaps, because it wasn't Jewish-controlled territory. But others scattered to other places. And, however, what we learn is that as they were scattered, as Luke sums it up, they preached the word wherever they went. So, in effect, this opposition, that this persecution that made them depart from Jerusalem, actually contributed to the expansion geographically of this growing community, because they took their faith with them and they shared it as they went. And so believers grew in other places also outside Jerusalem. Now, the primary message at the beginning was Jesus is the Christ, because it was a message that was being delivered to those who had been raised in Judaism. The heart of things for them to know was that Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the Christ. Now, as they begin to make their way out into the world, prompted by this persecution, things begin to happen. And the ethnic, if you will, character of this new community begins to change somewhat. We had a reading this morning from Acts chapter 11. And after a couple of stories in between, one of which was the conversion of a man named Saul. Because in this oppression, in this persecution of the Christians in Jerusalem, one name sort of rose to the top amongst their persecutors, and it was a man named Saul, who took on the persecution with a vengeance. And then dramatically, and by the grace of God, Saul, whom we know as Paul, was converted dramatically to the Christian faith. And then Paul's story is interesting, because he sort of disappears for a little while. He appears back in Jerusalem and after his conversion in Damascus, and he appears back in Jerusalem and has a conversation with the people he had been oppressing. You can imagine how that meeting must have been experienced when the one who had been their primary persecutor comes back and says, I'm one of you. I'm one with you. There was the challenge of accepting the genuineness of his profession of faith. And Paul could not at that moment surely have appreciated the role that the Lord yet had for him. Anyway, Paul made his way back to his home city of Tarsus. And one might have thought at that point in the narrative that his role in things was sort of over. But no, as Acts 11 tells us, that those who were scattered because of the persecution back in the time of Stephen had traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And in that process, they had carried the message just to those who were Jews, telling them that Jesus was truly the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. And filling in the details of his life, no doubt, and explaining how these things fit together. And there were believers. And there were those who heard and understood and accepted. And Luke's account continues. But among them, that is, amongst those who were moving about sharing the word, there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Greeks also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. A very crucial turning point. Because up until that point, the testimony had largely been delivered to those who were Jews. And now, these individuals, enthused with their faith, start sharing it with Greeks who had no Jewish roots. And they too were hearing the word and receiving it and accepting it. Luke simply, as his narrative often is very sparse on details, Luke simply records it as, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. You see how the momentum is building. It started with 120 or so in Jerusalem, and now it's expanded out to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch and Samaria and other places unnamed. And now, not only are those who are receiving this word ones who were raised in Judaism, but also Gentiles, which was just a word for those who were not Jews, really. And so this faith was being shared very diversely in the world. Now, just to go back to Acts 11, when word of what was happening in Antioch reached back to Jerusalem, they sent a man named Barnabas to Antioch, no doubt in part to find out just exactly what was happening. But also, they sent Barnabas, who was a man of character and quality, to provide leadership. And when Barnabas got to Antioch, he saw what had was happening, and he was impressed by it, and he saw the grace of God at work, and he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with devotion. And the numbers continued to expand. Then Barnabas did something that was bold and may have been thought by some in his day to have been a strange and radical thing to do. But Barnabas sent off to Tarsus to find Paul, because Barnabas had seen something in Paul that made him understand that Paul had a further role to play in this unfolding story. And it's fairly apparent from Luke's account that Barnabas hadn't been in regular touch with Paul. He had to go looking for him in his home city of Tarsus. And when he was found, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was, Luke sums up, that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And that, of course, became the designation which has survived through history. Antioch. Antioch, of course, was also the starting point for Paul's first missionary journey. Barnabas was also part of that enterprise. If you read on in Acts, beyond chapter 11, you see that the story continues. The sharing of the word continues. The reception of the word continues. And there were all sorts of factors that contributed to it. I mean, Asia Minor was on the trade routes of the world. The Roman Empire provided later opposition, but in the moment it provided a system of roads and communication that was available to Paul as a missionary, as well as it was available to accomplishing the aims of the empire. And the story went on from there. And the thing is that we can't miss, you know what? Those first believers couldn't imagine, couldn't really imagine that anyone would hear this good news and not see it as good news. They wanted to share it. And they had the optimism of believing that if they shared the word, there were going to be those who would accept it and who would respond and make a commitment. And they were right. And the Lord blessed their work. And it became the practice, even of Paul on his missionary journeys, that when he went to a new place, he visited the synagogue, because he wanted to make sure that this news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, was shared in those for whom it was their spiritual inheritance. But he didn't stop at the synagogue. He went to the marketplace as well and shared this news of Jesus Christ with anyone who would listen. He didn't seem to be held back by any sorts of fears that, you know, maybe they won't be interested. He didn't seem to be held back by the thought that, well, now maybe they'll be offended by this. He didn't seem to be held back by the thought that, wow, would someone who is committed to paganism really be interested in knowing about Jesus Christ? He simply went out and shared the news, as did the others. And the Lord blessed the genuineness of their testimony. And lives were transformed. And converts were made. And the church grew and spread. And incredibly, within a century, the awareness of Christianity was no longer just held in the midst of a little group of people in Jerusalem, but an awareness of Christianity had spread through the whole of the Mediterranean world. And in many of those communities around the Mediterranean, there were actually Christian congregations and communities of believers. And all of it happened by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit in a lifetime. It's a dramatic and incredible story. But it all rests, you see, on the openness of the believers and the enthusiasm with which they shared the word. Now, we know when we read through Acts that not everybody who heard the word received it joyfully. In fact, in some places there was considerable opposition. But they continued to share. They continued to tell. They continued to offer what was most precious to them to anyone who would hear. And that was the power of that time. Because, you see, the Spirit of God is still alive and at work in the world. And we are challenged to be a people who just naturally share what we believe as part of who we are and how we approach life and how we make sense of reality. And when that happens, God blesses. And, you know, in our times, I suspect that oftentimes we are deterred from sharing our faith very evidently because we conclude that people wouldn't really be interested in that. And however, if we don't share, we don't discover. So I commend the Acts of the Apostles to you as a testimony of how God can work in and through his people. And of course, I tie it back in with that prayer that Jesus offered on behalf of his followers at the conclusion of his ministry. Because he prayed for his disciples and for God's hand to be upon them and shepherd them in the things that were about to happen. And so he prayed for those who would hear the good news through them and be the blessing to the next generation. And Christ's prayer was answered and is being answered. We're here this morning because that has continued. And may it move through us into the world for the glory of the Lord's name. A stunning story. I commend it to you. It's good news. Thanks be to God.